Welcome to Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs who are passionate about their business and have participated in our guest blog series, ShareYourStories.online. Today, we'd like to introduce you to Keelan Mayer, who is a virtual assistant and has a wonderful tagline that I absolutely love called, "She Wants to Be Your Person." Welcome, Keelan.
Thanks, Trish.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
You know, one of the things that I really love about your business is that you're kind of ahead of the times here. You have no geographic boundaries. Being a virtual assistant, you do everything online. So tell us a little bit about some of the platforms that you use and how you communicate with your customers.
Well, I'm a big one for still picking up the phone when I'm building the relationship with my customer or my client. I really do feel that you can lose a lot in translation if you just send an email or a text. But there are also times when that makes perfect sense to send an email or to text if you need a prompt response. Zoom is a huge one for collaborating with my clients. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they've got all the new finagled stuff with Google Meets and, you know, you can use Skype still, and the possibilities are endless. It just really is kind of what my client likes or feels most comfortable with is what I typically use.
Well, you know, what's really interesting that you point out is based on comfort level, because you and I have worked together before in the past, and you certainly know that I'm not the most technical wizard in the world. But certainly with your help in the last 12 weeks, I've had to learn a lot of these online platforms. So what are the types of things that you try to do to educate or work with in conjunction with your clients to help them navigate some of these challenges that they may have with technology?
Well, a lot of it is a conversation of getting a clear understanding of where they're coming from, mm-hmm. and what their objective is. So one thing I've learned is that it's really important to have a clear outline of what we're trying to find a platform to do. Right. And then you can kind of go from there. And then on top of that, it's also how much time they want to invest in learning a platform, how many people other than the client and myself are going to be using it. And then getting a clear understanding of that, you can kind of start to whittle it down to the two or three that might be the most appropriate. And then it comes down to cost and that sort of thing too. So it's a unique to every single client that I work with.
So as a virtual assistant, tell us a little bit about why you decided that you wanted to get into this type of business. Because, you know, as an executive assistant, when you and I worked together, there really was a wonderful dynamic in terms of that one-to-one connection. And of course, life gets in the way and, you know, we move on and we try different things. And so tell folks a little bit about your light bulb moment and why you decided that a virtual assistant was something that you wanted to explore as an entrepreneur.
Well, I think initially for me, it was family. It was, I had a son and I didn't want to be going back to work outside of the home. So I started kind of seeing what available opportunities there were at that time. And that's over 8 years ago now. So working virtually really wasn't something that was done a lot. I stumbled upon a really great opportunity that was entirely virtually based. So I worked with, my boss was in Virginia, and my other boss was wherever the wind took her. And so it was just really nice to be able to connect with them regardless of where they were in the globe. And so we just really, it took some time to figure out how to work as a team and to still get that one-to-one connection or that kind of, that more personal touch on work and communicating with each other. But we found platforms like Skype was a big one back in the day. You did a lot of like the messenger component of it. You just have it up all day and you could have quick conversations. And then on top of that, it was the phone calls. If you had something to chat about, you picked up the phone and that really allowed you to make that personal connection, which is why I still do it today.
So do you think that, you know, we're all sort of navigating a new sense of normal? You know, we're reading about all of that phrase online where we're all sort of reconnecting and trying to navigate what's the fall going to look like. Do you think, to your point, that we may go back to some of those traditional old tried and true sort of methods of communication, like picking up the phone and actually having a conversation? Or do you think that there's going to be some unusual or new platforms that will come out of the of our new experience that will force us to move into another new direction?
I think it'll be both. And I think it'll be a personal choice. I think that there will absolutely be new, exciting, possibly complicated, kind of really outside the box opportunities for connection.
Yeah.
That people are like, I can't even fathom what they'll look like, but I'm sure they'll be really exciting and innovative. But I also think that ultimately you can't duplicate the contact that's important for a client relationship online. It is really nice. Like you and I do a lot of the Zoom calls and stuff. So we get to talk to each other, but mm-hmm. the random text that kind of just comes through, you know, when I accidentally pocket dial you or something like that, that is what's real. Right. And that's right. What's kind of allows us to develop that relationship outside of work, to build the work relationship a bit stronger. So I think that people will still go back to the picking up the phone. It's actually something that I think is a lost art. It's a communication piece, mm-hmm. and people are forgetting how to talk to each other and how to write a letter to each other and all that kind of stuff. And I think that that is important. So I think people are starting to grasp that level of disconnect and are going back towards it. Even if it's nostalgic, it can be a hobby, but it's still going to be an important part of ongoing communications and relationship development.
You know, you make a really interesting point about relationship development, because I mean, clearly you're trying to get to know your clients, not only on a business level, but a personal level, because if you're helping them with communication, you need to almost sit yourself in their chair, so to speak, so that the language that you use is very similar to the people that you're representing. So is there a particular type of client that you find that you navigate towards? Because clearly you can work in any industry. I would make an assumption that it's based on that entrepreneurial relationship where you have a connection. So tell us a little bit about that.
I've had the honor of working with a lot of people in the leadership space. And I really seem to gravitate towards people in that space. I think it's a certain level of empathy and patience and a desire to truly understand one another that really kind of gears me in that direction, because those are important components of any relationship in my mind. But I, in terms of who I ultimately work with, it's really someone that makes me laugh and that allows me to be a bit ridiculous, or really can find that moment in a day when it's just kind of everybody's going in 10 different directions, but it's still okay. And we're still working as a team, even if it is slightly chaotic. So right. That kind of understanding of the give and the take and the importance of being able to laugh at your mistakes, or, you know, have an honest conversation about where you're at that point. And I think that again, speaks to the leadership space where people are really open to understanding where you're at that moment and create space for that conversation.
You know, what's really cool is we're all sort of stepping outside our comfort zone, right? You know, I was having a conversation with a client the other day, and I said, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of getting tired of having to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. we're all in those situations where, you know, there's no expert in the current business climate. We're all trying to navigate things as best we can based on our past experience. So in terms of being outside your comfort zone, what are some of the things that you see other leaders using your expertise with the leaderships folks that you're talking about that they're finding in their space that's really interesting or innovative at this time?
I think it really comes back to the platform use. A lot of leadership coaches are used to the one-on-one conversations or the in-office conversations. So pivoting that to an online communication opportunity has been huge for a lot of them. Those that I work with that are in the charity space of leadership are looking to try and find new ways to connect with funders, to communicate your story. The sharing of the story, I think, is what will ultimately bring people the new opportunity to pivot where they were to where they want to be, and understanding kind of who they were before COVID, who they are during COVID, and then whatever we look like after COVID. being able to communicate that story and their entrepreneurial story and how it changed over time and how they morphed with it, I think will be important.
Well, you know, that's a really interesting point, because one of the things that we do in the guest blog series is we talk about our three words of advice. And I remember reading your three words of advice, and I thought, wow, that is really not only deep, but timely, given where we are in terms of our business climate. And your three words are nurture your village. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about what that means for you and your business.
Well, I think for me and my business, it really means that I stop and have a level of gratitude every day for the people that I work with, the patience that they offer me, being a working mom with kids home, the conversations that we share, the learnings together, the opportunities to push each other a bit outside of our comfort zones, and to support each other when we are kind of navigating that. It's all about gratitude. It's all about making sure that everybody understands that we're all working towards the same goal in the same direction, but you're going to need to pull in a variety of people to make that happen and to make it a success. And that ultimately acknowledging the amount of people that combine together to lift you up is really important, and to say thank you. And to thank yourself too, right? That people often forget to acknowledge the lengths they went to get someone else where they wanted to be. So that gratitude for myself and my efforts, and the gratitude for my clients, and then all of us working together, I think is super important.
Well, that's a really great note for us to finish on, because I'm going to send you my gratitude and thanks for participating in not only the Share Your Stories, but in our virtual coffee through Keeping It Real. And to the listening and visual audience, I certainly hope that you've enjoyed this edition of Keeping It Real, where we've introduced you to the person behind the logo. Thank you very much, Keelan. It really was a pleasure to speak with you today.
Thank you, Trish. It was an honor.
Have a great day.
You as well.